Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
Got it. I got it. I hit the button, Jeff. Hey there. Hi there. Ho there. Whoa there.
Wow. Where did that energy come from?
Welcome to the podcast.
That energy came out of nowhere.
I forced the fuck out of it.
We were talking a little bit about how the old books aren't very good.
How old books are not very good. We're going to jump right into this. This is going to be really like a free associate episode. So you're going to have to work with us here.
You're going to have to bear with us.
You have to bear with us. So old books, why do they blow ass, Jeff?
So it's just like some of the books we had to read and like high school or like on college prep list or whatever, like The Scarlet Letter. It's terrible.
I did not like The Scarlet Letter.
It's hard to read.
Like, I'm sure there's deeper meanings or whatever, but I just don't want to read a book about slut shaming.
It just seems like that there are these books that are considered classics, and I mean, there's new books, right? We don't have to use old books.
We could just get rid of the old books, right?
We had to read like Silas Marner or something.
I didn't read that one. Did you have to read Wuthering Heights?
No, I didn't have to read that one.
This motherfucker wants to dedicate 3 pages to describing a fucking door.
Yeah, it's because they didn't have anything to do.
Yeah,
they didn't have television. Mm-hmm. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't live very long, so it's just like, let's write about a door. It's considered art or literature because they didn't have a life.
Let's see who wrote Wuthering Heights again. Yeah, Emily Bronte's publisher was like, you got to pad this book a little bit. It's a few pages short. Could you talk about the door some more?
I like what you're going on with this relationship. Could you talk a little bit about the door? We really want to know a little bit more about the door.
Honey, this is 1847. People want to know about the door.
Could you put more door in it?
A little less
action and a little bit more door.
This romanticism, it's fine, it's great. I don't know if it's gonna catch on. I'm not here to find out. I'm here to learn about the door.
That's and like Moby Dick. Have you ever tried to read Moby Dick?
No. No, no, no. I listened to the Macedon album instead. That's basically the story of Moby Dick, but with metal.
I'm not anti-literature in any way. And there are some literature books that are very, very, very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying there's new stuff, too.
There's new stuff and, like, why the boring books? Like, That was always my thing. Like, it was good to have an English class where the book actually like grabbed your attention. Like when I read 1984, that actually grabbed my attention. And you know,
now 1984 is of course it's older, but it's chillingly it's like it always works in whatever time you're reading it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the part that they don't talk about a lot, the part that like when I read it in high school, like for some reason I was shocked. I say some reason, but like it's a kind of a shocking thing. But the main character is like fantasizing about like having sex with this woman and slitting her throat at climax. Yeah, that doesn't get mentioned a lot when 1984 is discussed.
What are you talking about?
There's a part in the book where the main character is talking about having sex with this lady, and he's talking about, he's fantasizing about like slitting her throat at climax.
I don't remember that part.
I'm looking it up.
Are we talking about the 1984 by
George Orwell?
Orwell?
Yeah.
Are we talking about that one?
Yeah.
I remember being devastated by that book.
Yeah, because it's not an uplifting part. It's not an uplifting.
I mean, he's still alive, but he is now part of the system.
Mm-hmm. Fuck, is there a synopsis? I want to find it. Because it's a really weird part.
Do you remember how that book ends?
It ends with him, like, essentially being brainwashed and realizing that he loves Big Brother, right?
He is writing in the dust of his table or something. He's writing 2 + 2 = 5.
Hmm.
Because that was sort of the whole idea of that if they tell you the falseness long enough, you'll believe it just like you believe the truth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then there's a movie of that that's also devastating.
Is that the one with John Hurt in it?
Yeah, John Hurt is the I forget his name was Wilson or.
When I just had the fucking Wikipedia article up.
It's all right.
No. Yeah. I got it right here. Main character. That's his name. What's his name? Winston Smith.
Winston.
Yeah, because he was in love with Julia. I swear there is a section. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if I was just imagining it.
I mean, it's a messed up book.
Yeah.
It's a book. It's very much like Brazil.
Yeah, it's
the film Brazil. It's very much like you feel like there's going to be this wonderfully happy ending, and then you find out that there is no happy ending in this.
Mm-hmm. It's very true, but I think it's an important book too.
It is an important book.
Same Animal Farm. Yep.
Yeah.
Fucking beat me to it.
Both of those are when I talk about old books, both of those are books that really stuck with me and books that are timeless. And, you know, there are really good books that written by authors from the past, but it seems like every 100 years you should just say, all right, we're going to start with a new bunch.
We're going to start with a new bunch of books.
Yeah, we don't have to go back to read Beowulf. Is there anybody that really cares about Beowulf or the Canterbury Tales?
The Canterbury Tales, I feel like I missed out on. I think I was like out sick when we did that section, and I feel like I missed a really cool bunch of stories, even though it wasn't finished.
They're in old English. They're not. They're hard to even. You can't even pronounce them.
Yeah, but Shakespeare, do you like Shakespeare?
I liked Macbeth.
You liked Macbeth.
Yeah.
You liked his big hit.
You know, I like Macbeth because it had witches and beheadings and armor and stuff.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I get what you're saying. But I mean, when you're teaching, shouldn't there be like a... When they do English, it's like assume that they have to teach like the older books and stuff. Couldn't there be like a history of literature versus modern literature or something?
Yeah. I totally get it. I mean, those books are important. There are many important books, but there's many important books that are written now that could replace some of those books.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I have an appreciation for the classics. I feel similarly about movies And this is going to sound very sacrilegious, but I prefer movies that were made from the 70s forward.
You don't like the older?
I like Citizen Kane, I think is a brilliant movie. There are some earlier movies, Casablanca,
Oh,
Wizard of
Casablanca is a
Oz.
great movie. I took a there was a class in high school I took called Humanitaries that all we
Yeah.
did, we essentially just watched movies, and I watched a lot of older movies in that class, and one of them was I watched Citizen Kane as well, and I watched,
Yeah.
what were we just talking about, Jeff? I'm sorry, I'm fried today.
Casablanca.
Casablanca.
I
Fucking
mean,
brain.
there are some classic films, but I feel like, and like, a lot of people will really get up in arms about this, but I just feel like, there's just so many older movies that are, they're just not that great.
You don't think so?
Well, they're in black and white.
Oh, right, I forgot.
If they really wanted to get our attention, they would have made them in color.
Right. No, I get it. Yeah, I know color is really just a marketing ploy.
Yeah.
12 Angry Men was really good. I watched that in that class. Anchors Away. I got an appreciation for Anchors Away and Singing in the Rain. Both
I
great.
haven't seen Anchors Away. Singing in the Rain is sort of dark, isn't it?
Singing in the Rain is actually about like the industry in a way, and it is a little it is a little dark, and Gene Kelly is definitely a fucking asshole for the way he treated that lady in the, and not in the film, but like during the making of the film.
Right. There's a movie that came out recently called B Babylon that takes some of the cues from that film.
Yeah, Babylon. The whole what are they called? What kind of movie is that?
It's the m movie behind the movie behind the movie.
No, there's like a there's a certain kind that not degenerate, but like just like debauchery. There we go. It's like a debauchery movie.
Yes. It's a beautiful movie.
I've wanted to watch it. It looked good.
Yeah, it's also depressing though, sort of like 1984, where it seems hopeful. It sort of cur goes through the movie business in America from the beginning, from sort of maybe the innocence, which it wasn't innocence of the people, but the innocence of the actual, it just started, the way things were done were simpler, and then goes through the sort of the just cynicism of the industry, not the cynicism of the creators. The idea that the industry is very cynical, it's, but there is art and there is beauty in the art, but it's also just very destructive.
Well, and that movie in particular is about like them transitioning from silent movies to the talkies. And there was like a
Which is
weird
which?
tr Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, which is what Babylon sort of does. It starts. It starts off with a like a 30-minute like party full of debauchery, and then it moves basically from the silence to the sound, and then it's a trip. It's not a perfect movie, but it's. It's definitely sort of a swing for the stars.
Nice. Like I told you before we started recording, the last movie I watched was Obsessed,
Yeah.
the 2009 classic with Idris Elba and Beyonce.
You lost me at a Beyonce.
It's if you guys haven't revisited, you guys should revisit this fucking train wreck of a movie. It is, it's, I, like I said earlier, it's about like Idris Elba, getting, he has this temp that gets obsessed with him at work, and she ends up, like assaulting him at work or at like the Christmas party or whatever, and like it's very dated and it's very much like the toxic office culture of like, oh, her, she's a smoking hot one, and like, yeah, she even does threaten like a sexual assault complaint on him.
Is this like a Tyler Perry film?
This is not a Tyler Perry movie. It's honestly, it seems like a Tubi movie. It's crazy. And
yeah,
Elba just doesn't. He needs facial hair. He needs something on his lip or something.
He's talented.
He's great. He's the one that carries the whole fucking movie. If it wasn't for Idris Elba, it would be a train wreck.
This is sort of symbolic of what we're talking about, I think, is that whenever there becomes money to be made from something, it can be ruined. And so it's just like somebody's sitting there and it's like, how can we get Beyonce in a movie? She's really good singer.
Oh, here's the thing.
She's selling lots of albums. So how can we get her in a movie so that we can, you know, bring in her fans to come see the movie?
Okay, so I went and looked up some stuff about the movie. For one, this movie was executive produced by Magic Johnson.
Okay.
And Beyonce. Originally, she was just producing it, and they were looking for like who could be Idris Elba's wife, and someone suggested, like, well, why not Beyonce? I mean, she's trying to. This was like in the period where Beyonce, like, she wasn't as big as she is now. Like, this was like,
okay,
this was like after Destiny's Child, and like, she is bigger, don't get me wrong, but she had just did Goldmember a few years prior to this, you know? Like,
gotcha. This was sort of the beginning of her possible film career.
Yes. Yeah. And she really fucking shoots herself in the foot. Yeah, she does. Fucking A.
But I think that's the cynical part about, so like, sometimes it's just like, we don't even really have a story, so how can we get Beyonce in a movie? So let's put Beyonce and Idris Elba and Pauly Shore in a film. Let's package that together.
Pauly Shore?
I don't know. That just came to my mind. But I mean, it's just like, we want to put these three people in a movie. And so we don't worry if there's a movie there. We just want to be able to put them three on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very much
because there's an album coming out.
Oh, sorry. Because she has an album coming out. That's called Obsessed.
Yes. Did she really?
No, not at all. That movie won the 2010 Best Fight Sequence at the MTV Movie Awards.
Obsessed did,
yes. Yeah, there's a big final scene between Beyonce and the Obsessor.
I've never heard of this movie. Was it a Hollywood movie?
It was a Hollywood movie.
Released to theaters?
Released in theaters. It was... It made $70 million at the box office on a budget of $20 million.
Okay, so it was a success.
It was a success. The critics hated it, but it was.
I've never heard of this movie.
It grossed $73.8 million against its $20 million budget. It was a success. That's crazy. I mean, it's basically it's Fatal Attraction.
What could we do with $20 million, Tyler?
I could do a lot with $20 million. I could live off that for the rest of my short life.
Isn't it? I mean, there are movies that are just total shit that cost $75, $100, $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these like movies like R.I.P.D. and Jonah Hex and John Carter from Mars that cost like $100 million, and they're terrible. How does that happen?
Well, I mean, how do you know you're going to make bad art when you're making it, when you're just making something? How do you know it's going to be bad?
I think it has to do with the way the Hollywood system works.
It is. It 100% is. Like, especially now where movie, like the big Hollywood movies are that much, like the expectation and cost is so high now that like
Yeah.
you could have a successful movie, but it could also be a fucking stinker.
Well, how about this? The new thing in Hollywood is let's make a movie, but then let's not release it and we'll count it as a loss.
Yeah.
Batgirl
Bad
never
girl.
will be seen.
Nope, it's destroyed.
I don't know if they destroyed it, but it can't be seen because they used it as a loss. There's a movie called Coyote versus Acme, which is the same thing. A $75 million movie.
And
They
but
just put it in, they're just gonna put it in the vault.
that one I heard was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Like Bad Girl, does anyone really have high hopes for Bad Girl?
No. But I mean it had like Brendan Fraser and I think Michael Keaton was in it.
Man, it might have fucked both of their careers.
You know, it's just like, so how about not making the movie if you're not going to show it?
That's
Can you
but.
imagine, like, so like the we get our big break, we're in Tyler and Jeff versus the world,
Okay.
and then the movie gets made, thousands of people work on it, it gets finished, and the studio goes, nah, we're just going to shelf it. Nobody's going to see it.
But it happens all the time, too.
Well, they stop stuff. They finish. They don't ever like a lot of. I think the whole idea is that you think like the way a movie works is just like. But a lot of times movies are in development or pre-production, and then they get like canceled. You
Yep.
know, they're or they were going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make this movie
Yep.
with Robert Redford and
Yep, it gets
Pauly
stuck.
Shore.
It gets stuck
And
in
then,
development hell.
yeah, and then it like doesn't get made.
Because it's
And then
fucking.
like 20 years later, they make it with somebody else in Pauly Shore.
Yep. That's
I don't
because.
think I'm just too sensitive to deal with that kind of, you know, the whole thing is like when you're a kid or you're dreaming and you're just like, okay, so, you know, you get if you sell a script or you make a movie or you get to star in a movie. You're set, but that's not how it works. You could sell your project and it never, ever gets made. And then
No.
once they buy it, they own it. So you can't make it. You can't send it somewhere else because they own it.
But you also just to give you another side of that, you can also get a situation where you sell off the rights to your script and get paid for it, and then they sit on it, and then that lapses and the rights revert back to you, and you could sell it to someone else, and again they could either make it or just sit on it, and you've just been
Right.
paid twice for it. It's I'm not saying that as a that's a positive side of it, but I agree that the
Right.
whole like system of like all of that is tricky and intentionally made confusing to I mean, that's the whole legal system to us is like it's intentionally made convoluted and tricky. That's why we have to
Right.
have people like represent us who know it,
Right.
whose sole focus is to know it.
Right, exactly.
And it's a miracle that any movie gets made, in my
It is a miracle
opinion.
that any movie gets made. If you like that Superman Returns with Nick Cage that Tim Burton was going to make.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're doing all kinds of like pre-footage of it. They got video, and then it's
Man.
just like, no, we're not going to make that.
Man, this is crazy because I've been on a lost media kick too, that we're bringing up like movies not being made and whatnot. Like, and there's just so much of like we have so much stuff that has aired, that has happened, that is like just lost to the sands
Yeah.
of time.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
crazy. You
It is
think you
crazy.
think we would be better at preserving these things? There's a
Well, that's the
whole.
other thing is like they keep like these masters or these films like the film is started to erode. I mean, they keep him like in these caves. They have storage facilities, and so like they are trying to restore some of these films, and I think having them digitally done it helps with that. But then you hear about like musicians, like the place where the masters are burns, and so you lose the original recordings from like hundreds and hundreds of artists where their original tapes are destroyed, and so you don't have those.
Yeah, isn't it like most of the movies prior to like 1930 something is lost?
Yeah, unless somebody, yeah.
Unless someone's like preserved it naturally. But there was also like there's been numerous fires at studios, there's been this
Yes,
and
yeah.
that, like
A
it's
lot of stuff has been lost.
And then like a lot of stuff like that we do have that's prior to that, we have like a snippet here, a snippet there.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been watching these things called iceberg videos on YouTube. Are you familiar with like the iceberg meme at all?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like it's just like that's just the tip of the iceberg, and the whole
Yeah,
idea
yeah.
is to cover like the common stuff, and as you go down the iceberg, it's the more obscure stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just
You
very
get to the
interesting.
bottom.
Yeah, and it's all like the weird, obscure, interesting stuff. And it's just it's crazy like how much we just don't preserve this shit sometimes or we just
Yeah.
lose it in a fire or
The crazy thing is like, yeah, I mean, it's just there's a lot of stuff that will never ever see the light of day. There's a movie by Jerry Lewis called The Day the Clown Cried or something
that's supposed to
about
be
it.
released this year, Jeff.
Oh, is it? I knew that he had said it couldn't be released until after his death, but people have seen it.
People have
But
seen
yeah, I think they are going to release it. I don't know how they're going to release it. I guess maybe it'll be on DVD or something.
I don't know. All I know is that he donated it to the Library of Congress and said it should not, I don't want anyone else to see it until. What date is it? It's some date in 2024.
Jerry Lewis was a talented dude, but like a messed up dude.
Yeah,
All
he
those
was.
old guys were. They were like old Hollywood guys. The thing about people, they're not being like physical copies of digital media now. So like, you have like, okay, so you've got it streaming, but if there's how like digital media is sort of going out of favor. They could take it away at any time.
Yeah, that's
If you don't
why
have a copy of it, then it just can disappear.
Yep, that's why I'm very big on physical media, and if I like a movie enough, I'm gonna get it on DVD. Fuck a Blu-ray. I am a DVD man, and I will not budge.
I'm an 8mm guy.
You're an 8mm guy. Of course you are. You're
Yeah,
fucking
I've got
pretentious.
all my films on 8mm.
So here's the thing. He said that his instructions was to have the movie released in 2024, but the Library of Congress is stating they're not going to screen it because they don't have a complete copy, which doesn't make sense. They don't possess a complete cut of the film. The footage donated by Lewis contains several unedited scenes from the film and several sound reels, and those portions will be made available to scholars for research later this year. What a fucking crock of shit. You know what I think? I think he'd even finish the motherfucker. I don't think he did, actually.
I don't think he did finish it. I mean, I think people have seen it or seen cuts of it.
Yeah, it was a Harry Shearer, the dude who does voices on The
Yeah.
Simpsons, has seen a cut, and he
Yeah.
said that it's just the pacing and comedic timing is just way inappropriate. Because the whole thing is that like he's a clown who gets caught
Yes.
by the Gestapo, and he's put in a concentration camp, and his whole thing is to cheer the kids up and then lead them into the gas chambers like that, and it's a comedy.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, it's I mean, it sounds interesting.
it does, and I mean, like, I'm not saying that it's a film that could work, but we know that that sort of like idea or take could be good. I mean, look at Jojo Rabbit. That's one of my favorite
Yeah,
movies that's come out.
Jojo Rabbit really did a good job of poking fun when there was place to be po fun to be poked, but also to bring the heaviness. That's a really good movie that very few people could have put together and kept it funny, but also very, very deep.
No,
And
he.
hopeful.
Yeah, that's what I love about it. Like, it's such a. Oh, it's definitely one of my favorite movies of Taika Waititi's, and it touches so well on like how someone can be radicalized like that, and how someone can be duped into being a Nazi.
Yes. And how if you begin to ask the right questions that maybe or have the right experiences that maybe some of that can fall away.
That's a big thing that I have noticed is like there's no communication, it seems. There's no, like, anytime I've tried to talk to someone that is more of a diehard conservative, it's never a actual discussion. It always turns into yelling. Always turns into yelling. I don't know if that's your experience. And like I said, this is a free associate episode, so I'm going wherever the fuck I want to go. But
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always turn into yelling with me, but it turns into very rigid ideas. And then you try to actually have a conversation using facts, and then that doesn't work because facts don't matter anymore. So you try to say, well, this is what's happening. No, this is what's happening. It's like, oh, okay, gotcha.
Right,
It's like
there's
trying to use the Bible to prove the Bible. It's not going to work.
no. You can't use a comic book to prove that Superman's real.
Superman's not real.
I'll tell you off air.
That something's going to be traumatic.
I don't wanna ruin it for you.
Well, people are tribal, and we don't like change, and we don't like to be proven wrong, and we don't really like to differ from our sort of core of where of what we believe. But I think to be fully, and this is a privilege I've had. I mean, I have a privilege of being educated in a way where I had to look at multiple sides of things. And so it forces you to see and have compassion and sympathy for both sides of an issue. And so you can actually say, well, I can see where you're coming from. Let's talk about it. But I don't think we're really are pushed to do that. We're sort of like, well, why would you go against that idea? Why would you disagree with that? Or why would you want to be able to argue the other side or understand the other side?
No, you're
That's
absolutely right.
valuable.
Like, it's in that I think a lot of people, or I think some people, just don't try to see it from the other perspective or try to look at it through all perspectives. They're very rigid, like you said, rigid in their thought. Like, this is the fact. It's facts over feelings, even though their fact is not based on any fact. It's based in a feeling.
And just because you can see the other side or why somebody might think from the other side doesn't mean you are giving up your opinion. You're just trying to say why would somebody think that? Let's try to figure out why somebody would feel a certain way. And then it gives you insight, and then you can be like, okay, so just because somebody has a certain thought doesn't mean they're bad or evil. we have reasons for sort of coming to our opinions,
Yeah.
but we're just in this very rigid time of just like, this is the only way you can think. And if you don't think this way, then you're depraved. And you need to, there's something wrong with you, and we need to fix that in some way.
Right. No, yeah. Like you said, we are afraid to be proven wrong. We are afraid to look stupid. And when we put our chips into someone and it turns out that they're a piece of shit and everyone is telling us that they're a piece of shit, it's hard for us, 'cause if we leave that, we look dumb. We look foolish because we stayed in the first place. So now you want to double down and like prove to them that no, he's not a piece of shit, or they're not a piece of shit. You're the piece of shit because you're the non-believers, and I'm on the road or catching some rye.
So, like when I was growing up in college, John Lennon became one of my heroes. And so the church people I'm around wanted to really harp on how, what a troubled life he had and all the things he did wrong to dismiss the idea of why, because a lot of people look up to him. And there's a lot of this that goes on. It's like, oh, why you can't. Why you should, oh, he's, you know, this and he's that. And it's like, yeah, he is. He's a very imperfect person. But it's just like they're so scared of anybody liking someone that might have a different philosophy or a different idea that they have to break them down. They have to destroy them.
Because people, and I see this a lot too, where it's like the idea that doing nothing is better than doing something wrong, whereas we don't give people like, or we just don't see people as a complete full person that isn't. We like to think of them as like, oh, they're just a, like in John Lennon's case, oh, he's just a fucking woman beater who left his kid. Or, oh, that guy just fucking steals Cadillac converters and smokes meth. Like, we don't see them as these fully complete people that are capable of just as capable as doing great things and very like peaceful things. We just,
It's complicated.
yeah, we're messy, complicated people who do bad things and do good things.
Yes.
And I really harbor and fixate when I do something bad, 'cause I want to be a good person so badly. It's hard. It's hard being a good person.
I think it goes back to what we talked about. Why are we reading the old books?
They just make us feel like bad people.
You ever read Catcher in the Rye?
I did not read Catcher in the
I
Rye.
didn't love it.
Didn't love it.
Everybody loves Salinger, or everybody that, I mean, lots of people love Salinger, and I mean, it was interesting, but it didn't wow me like some of the other books of that era wowed me.
No, the books that really wowed me was were Kurt Vonnegut books. I read Breakfast of Champions and Cat's Cradle, and both were fantastic. I love Kurt Vonnegut. He's such a good writer.
My favorite, one of my favorite books of all time is Fahrenheit. What? No, not Fahrenheit. What is it?
Oh.
Slaughterhouse Five.
Oh, Slaughterhouse-Five is a great one too. Fuck.
That woke up my brain. That was special.
Yeah,
Yeah,
man. You know, I need to
I
go
think
back and read it.
we stick with some of those. I mean, there's certain books that really sort of get into your brain. Vonnegut was sort of a, he was a definitely a different kind of guy.
He was a man that he fucking saw some things. He has experienced hurt.
Yeah.
His mother unalived herself by drinking Ajax, I think.
I did not know that. I knew he was a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he was, yeah.
And he understood the importance, the cannot stress the importance of brand loyalty by strictly smoking Pall Mall cigarettes.
Yeah. Which is very important.
If you're going to smoke, pick a lane.
You know, it seemed like the world was better when everybody smoked.
You think so? You think cigarettes were the sole thing that was actually keeping us together?
The world seemed simpler when we had cigarettes. I guess we still have cigarettes, but when you watch those old movies or whatever, they just smoke so much.
I know, it's kind of
everybody smokes.
It's kind of hard to watch them sometimes. It makes me want to smoke. You know, it's been one full year. It's been a year and a month since I've last had a cigarette.
I'm sorry to bring that up.
Why are you sorry to bring that up?
Well, I don't want to taunt you.
You're not taunting me. Sandy smokes. It's fine. I get a craving sometimes, but mostly I smoke in my dreams.
You know why you get a craving, right?
Why?
Because they're addictive.
They are addictive.
People smoke in Europe a lot still, though.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't have as many additives.
No. You know, there's a lot of additives that that America has, like in Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew, like the way we drink it, is not legal in Europe. Some of the dyes.
Yeah.
Some of the chemicals are like illegal everywhere else in the world.
Yeah, well, where they ban those chemicals and those chemicals, we see money over here.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah. Mountain Dew has to have that color, or it can't work.
Then it ain't Mountain Dew if it ain't got that Mountain Dew color.
It's Mountain Don't.
It's Mountain Don't.
That's what we're trying to say.
It's Mountain
Don't Dew. Take our Mountain Dew from us. We're Americans.
We
do it differently than you do it in Europe. That's why we're the best country in the world.
That's why we're the best, and you guys are losers, and you don't look at us weird at all.
Exactly.
Jeff,
Let me say this one thing. That's why you've got...
Oh, here we go.
You've got health care, and we don't.
Yeah.
It's because of Mountain Dew. We don't do it like you. Ooh. We don't do things that make sense.
No, we don't. Why would we give poor people health care?
Exactly.
Why
if
would
poor people have health care, then everybody would have health care.
Yeah. And we can't have that.
We cannot have that.
We can't have that.
I think that's what's traumatic, is that America is all about disunity.
Yep.
And the haves and the have-nots.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy that it seems like America wants to take its entire populace and make it so desperate that it's willing to do anything just to scrape by, which means getting exploited and then getting caught up in your own shit to where you can't even make a change.
But we have Mountain Dew that looks like radioactive waste.
But we do got the Dew. We got the dude.
And you got that thing that Taco Bell has something that people like.
Mm-hmm.
The Baja Blast.
They have the Baja Blast pie that's coming out soon.
Yep.
You ain't going to find that in Europe.
That's why America works. Because we distract the poor and the have-nots with Baja pie.
Yeah, our new phrase is no longer circus and bread.
It's Baja Blast Pie.
It's Baja Blast Pie in reality shows.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah. That's our new Roman gladiator fights. Jeff, I'm glad you stopped me from closing out the show, because we got some good stuff out of that last little. We squeezed that American lemon.
We squeezed something out of there.
We squeezed something out of that.
There were some squeezing.
We hadn't reached our logical conclusion until we fixated on that. Like I know that sounds sarcastic, but I mean it.
And this was a little bit disjointed session, and we'll go back to our norm next time.
Maybe.
This was just sort of
Who
a little
knows?
bit of a
Power off.
Oh no. Oh no. I lost Jeff. Guys, I lost Jeff. But Jeff, you're not on the thing anymore. The thing died.
What died? The tape?
Yeah, no, my Bluetooth thing that I use. It died.
Oh, well, we got most of it, right?
Yeah, we got most of it. We're good. We're gravy. We're fine.
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't
The rest
matter.
of it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I got you against the mic here, so we can sign off on that
We
note.
can sign off, or we can just have me disappear, never to be heard from again.
And Jeff was shortly replaced after this
You just
episode.
introduce a new person and never mention me
Jeff.
again.
Just do like at the beginning of it, just like distort the voice to be like, "Hi, I'm insert name here."
Hello, I am Jeff Snell.
Or I could just act like it's a different person, but just act like it's still you.
That's even better.
That's pretty
That's
good.
more 1984-ish.
Yeah, that's yeah, and that's when Tyler Lye realized he loved Big Jeff. All right. Thanks for listening. And this has been everyone at Everything's Traumatic. I'm Tyler.
I'm Jeff.
And as always, take care of yourself and read a fucking book from this century.
Yeah. From the 20s.
From the 20s.